This is Steve Stillwell. Welcome to the Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Show. This is Steve Stillwell with the Survival Tip of the Week. How about a survival bucket? You could add that to your survival equipment. In fact, I do this. I carry a bucket with me. I can gather all kinds of things in the field. You can forage for wild edibles. You can collect rocks, kindling, pitch pine, a whole host of things. That way you're not having to carry things in your arms. You can also gather water from a creek. But one thing you want to be careful, a bucket will get brittle. And when you store things like this, don't leave it in the sun, because the longer that it stays in the sun, the more brittle it gets. Today's special guest is Peter Kelly from Canada. He practices a lifestyle called living history, and we're going to delve into that today. The Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Show, brought to you by Area Solar, 870-389-6115. Today's guest is Peter Kelly. Welcome to the Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Show.
Top of the morning, Steve. Pleasure to be with you.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this because of some of the historical aspects. And first thing I want to delve into, let's talk about this lifestyle that you're pursuing and living called living history. I'd never heard of that term before until I talked to you.
Well, there's a lot of names for it, Steve. Living history, some call it reenacting. Some call it living archaeology. I guess with my passion for history, I'm fascinated with that time period, sort of the 18th century era.
Good, good. And you've kind of placed yourself, if I understood you correctly, in the mid-1700s that you're reenacting and living. Is that correct?
That's right, Steve. My persona would be mid-1700s to early 1800s in that time frame, yes.
All right. Well, let's talk about a normal day for you on your homestead, because, ladies and gentlemen, he's built a cabin, and you've got to see it. It's absolutely awesome. Let's talk about a normal day. What do you do?
A normal day. Well, pretty much I step back in time, Steve. Someone once said I must put costumes on frequently, but I think the reality is that when I put on modern day clothes, it's putting on a costume. I pretty much live the time period. So early start. We got some chickens and such, and I get up there and get going. The cabin that you mentioned is pretty much coming to fruition. I got a chimney to build and a floor to put down, and we're going to outfit it in accoutrements of the 1700s. So it
Great.
It'd be a little museum, essentially.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've been following, you've been sharing some videos, what you've been doing, and that chimney work, that's going to be a sight to behold. Really excited to see it when it's finished.
We're a project right now. We're starting another birch bark canoe build. So,
all right.
In the process of gathering materials for that. And we're going to actually be filming that as well, sort of start to finish, for anybody that might be interested in, or crazy enough to undertake it.
Hey, that's good. And by the way, Peter Kelly, you're from Canada. Well, what region? This is for our listeners. Where exactly are you at? Roundabouts.
I guess the easiest way to describe it would be Eastern Ontario, north of Kingston. So on the north shore of Lake Ontario.
How's the weather up there? Give us a rundown, spring, summer, winter, and fall.
We can get that all in one day, Steve.
Sounds like Arkansas.
Right now, I think we got more Arkansas weather. I got to think in American temperatures. It's going to be over 90 degrees here today. And quite a humidex. So, yeah, we get quite fluctuations, but we've had a really dry, hot spring, actually.
Mm-hmm. We've had a very wet one here, very wet.
Well, you could send a little of that up here, Steve. We'd appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How many acres do you have, Peter?
I personally own 41 acres.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's plenty to be self-sustaining. That's great.
Most of it woodlot, but we do we essentially grow all of our own food. We have numerous gardens, a little orchard. We hunt and fish, so primarily we eat wild meat, do a lot of food preservation. Yeah, the grocery bill generally is pretty small, Steve.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask. What are you doing for refrigeration other than, you know, in the warmer months?
Well, actually, we, you know, contrary to people, sometimes think I just live on the ground, Steve, but we do have a home.
Yes.
We do have an actual modern house. We built that ourselves as well.
Excellent. So
we have a refrigerator.
Good.
We have freezers. But most of our food preservation is canning, and we have a root cellar. So we do grow a lot in the root cellar. Pretty much, we're still eating out of it actually from last fall.
Oh, that's good. I love a root cellar. I'll tell you what, that's a way to go.
We got a little smokehouse as well, so we can smoke fish and meat. And when I'm not doing that, I'm smoking deer hides in it. So
hey, that's good.
Multi-purpose structure.
Yeah, I watched you do your video on tanning, and that was really interesting, very interesting. Back to the smokehouse, about how big is it? How many deer can you hang in there?
I can actually do, last year I didn't do any hides. The year before, I think I smoked 8 hides at once.
Oh, wow.
So I hang them basically like you'd hang clothes on a clothesline.
Yeah.
The old way, or the traditional way, was you sewed each hide into a sack, like a closed sock, open at one end, and you put a skirt on it, and then you smoke one hide at a time. It's basically a day. I've increased my production tenfold.
Hey, that's good. And I've watched your work ethic, and I'll tell you what, a gentleman your age, you're really fit. I'll tell you that. You're very fit.
Actually, perhaps that work ethic's just when I'm on film, though, Steve. You don't see me off film, you know, lollygagging the boat. Eh?
Yeah, we won't talk about the recliner and the refrigerator.
There we go.
The size of your log cabin, how big is that, and how much help did you have when you constructed this?
Done it all myself. I've got some help now. A stonemason. A stonemason master. He's helped me with the firebox. He's pretty gifted that way.
Yeah.
But the rest of it I did myself, Steve.
That is a lot of work. A lot of work.
I started at the wrong time of year. I'm peeling cedar logs now for my canoe build. And you grab one end of a 20-foot log and you just peel it full length.
Mm-hmm.
In the wintertime, my videos would demonstrate the effort it takes to get the hide off one of them trees. It isn't easy.
Yeah.
That's not
work for the faint of heart. I know that. So
I think this is our fourth cabin, actually.
Really, you've done others.
Yeah, our first home actually. We built. We lived in your fine country for a few years.
Good.
In Upper New York State, sort of the Finger Lakes region.
Beautiful place. My wife is from New York.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, it's beautiful country, and. We did quite a complex one there. We did a square-hewn compound dovetail notch thing, and it was quite large.
The cabin
in the video, Steve, is, I think, 16 by 12.
Yeah. People don't realize all the work that goes into that, and I could tell by looking at it. I said, Peter knows how to build, which I have some carpentry skills myself. I built just about everything out there on my homestead. So I've been there and done that, but log work, that is an entirely different animal there. And you've got to be tough to do that.
And I tried to do it as traditionally as possible. So virtually very few power tools, if any. And that adds to it. But it's in terms of the complexity, it was rather a simple build. I tried to make it crude in a sense.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, I guess, recreate a settler's cabin of that time period.
So. Yeah. I like the tavern sign that you made, too. That was really awesome.
There might be a few living historians have a libation or two there, Steve, when it's all done.
Yeah.
Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival will be right back after this message from our sponsors.
Now a word from our sponsor, Executive Broker Herschel Bell with Holly Springs Real Estate. Give him a call at 479-394-4200 or 479-243-5613. Executive Broker Herschel Bell can represent both buyer and seller. Herschel Bell has 35 years experience in poultry, cattle, and recreational land. He also has experience with residential and commercial properties. Herschel loves the outdoors and he's familiar familiar with the Ouachita National Forest. He also likes selling recreational properties, and he has first-hand knowledge of many of our trails. Herschel's motto is, he's ready to open doors for you. Give Herschel Bell a call today at 479-394-4200 or 479-243-5613 because he's ready to go to work for you.
And now back to the Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Show.
Well, here's a neat thing, too. Yeah, you know how to do some metal forging, don't you? Let's talk about that a little bit.
I hammer out a few things. Actually, blacksmithing fascinates me. You can take something as unmovable and bendable as steel and form it into just about any shape. So, yeah, it's an interesting hobby.
Mm-hmm. Trey, our producer, he's very interested, very intrigued with that. So he dabbles in it quite a bit.
What got me started in that, we used to farm, and we farmed with horses. We raised Canadian horses, and we cut the hay and plowed fields and what have you with them. And so farriers were too bloody expensive with all the horses I had. So I decided to learn how to shoe horses.
Oh, that can actually be dangerous.
Yeah, it is at the moment. Mm-hmm. And make my own horseshoe. So it started off that, and then evolved into making blades and hinges and nails and whatever else one needs off a forge.
Oh, that's neat. That is really neat. What kind of horses did you have?
We had Canadians, and probably not that familiar down your neck of the woods. They're the oldest breed of horse in Canada.
Oh, wow.
They were shipped over in to Quebec City, which was just an outpost.
Yes, sir.
And I think it was King Louis the 14th. He sent over a stallion and 20 mares.
Oh,
and
neat.
They didn't have any place to keep them, so they put the stallion in one of their log cabins for the winter. They can be brutal winters that far north.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they turned the 20 mares out into the forest to forage for on their own, and in the spring about 9 had survived. So they produced a really hardy breed of sort of dual-purpose horse.
Yeah, only the strongest survive.
Correct.
Yeah,
absolutely. So we raised horses from those same bloodlines.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah, that sounds like a lifestyle of attrition there with the horses, but that's amazing. That is amazing. Something else I want to talk about is your flintlock, because you carry it with you traditionally everywhere. And a lot of people, when they watch your videos, I imagine they might not understand that. But I know you're doing it for safety reasons because of predators. Do you have bobcats, or not bobcats, mountain lions up there?
Never seen one. I've never seen a track. But
yeah, bear, right?
Friends that, we have lots of bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly lots of bear. No, I think I do it primarily. I'm not too intimidated by black bears. Usually, any ones I've seen skedaddle.
Yeah, they are pretty timid.
Grizzlies, on the other hand, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Extra steps for them. But no, I guess I'm just trying to demonstrate what it was like to live in that turbulent time period.
Mm-hmm.
On the frontier, for example, your Pennsylvania, Ohio River. Area with settlers that had gone across the Appalachians and were trying to eke out a living. It was turbulent, and they didn't go anywhere without a musket.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess just in trying to live it rather than just reenact it, I toted around all the time.
Yeah, that's a beautiful piece too. What caliber is it, Peter?
It's a 62 smoothbore. It was one of my first builds. It's a reproduction of an early English trade musket. So time period would be very early 1700s.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful rifle.
I actually have some fancier pieces, you know, with the striped maple and rifled 54 calibers and such. But yeah, I prefer that old barrel.
Yeah, sometimes it's good to have an old beater that you carry around and you keep the nice ones just on the wall to look at.
Yeah.
How many
games?
Go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say the with flintlocks, you know, there was a period years ago I used to do reenacting, and I have really good friends in that hobby. So I got introduced to flintlocks through that. But mm-hmm. I started to use it, I guess, because I've hunted all my life, and it just got to the point that it was too easy, you know, with a center fire rifle and a scope and a tree stand. And I just got to the point where I wanted a bit more challenge.
So, I understand.
Hunting with a flintlock certainly had an element of that too.
Oh, yeah. I understand exactly what you're talking about there. When you become proficient, yeah, we need to challenge ourselves. And you, in fact, on one of your videos, you took a turkey, and that was an interesting feat. Let's talk about that. How many game animals have you taken over the years with your flintlocks?
Quite a few, Steve. I really can't count, but I think that's probably the seventh turkey I've harvested with that particular flintlock.
Yeah,
it is. Like, turkey hunting in itself is rather challenging, but a flintlock adds an even greater challenge. So you got to get with a .62 caliber, you've got to have them about 20 yards.
Yeah.
It can be frustrating if you're an avid hunter and to have, you know, you hunt day after day after day and you have four or five big toms that you could have harvested with a 3.5-inch 12 gauge Magnum quite easily.
Yeah.
30 to 40 yards.
So. Yeah. They're just hanging out there and they won't come in any closer.
Yeah.
I've had that happen.
But the two hunts that we hunt pretty much all game that we're legally allowed to up here, but moose hunting and turkey hunting are my favorite. Turkey and moose you can both call in.
Yes.
When the rut or the turkeys are breeding, and it just adds a whole degree of excitement to hunting.
It does, absolutely. I've seen it done, and I've done one of them. I haven't called any moose in yet, but I have called my share of turkey.
It's pretty amazing to see a big old bull coming in racking its horns.
I'll tell you.
And a tad in and imitate too, Steve.
Yeah.
Intimidating, I meant.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, that's a lot of meat too when you put a mature animal like that down. That's a lot.
That's when the work starts.
Yeah, that's what people don't realize. You know, hunting is fun, but I'll tell you what, it's a lot of work. Well, you know that. I'm preaching to the choir here.
Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival will be right back after this message from our sponsors.
Some of you might not know this. I've lived off-grid two separate times in my life. The first time was tough because it was a learning process, but the second time was a lot easier because of advancements in solar technology. If you're independently minded, this is the way to go. Write this name and number down. Area Solar, 870-389-6115. Don't let power outages, tornadoes, or other natural disasters rob you of your independence. It's time to take control. Area Solar can help you install a solar array and battery systems even if you live in the woods. And a system such as this can pay for itself in about 10 years, 25 maximum, and most of the equipment is under warranty for 25 years. Green technologies such as solar systems offer tax credits because you're helping the environment. You can save approximately 25% on installations and equipment. Call Area Solar, 870-389-6115 if you're interested in renewable energy. Power your home and appliances with the sun. Area Solar can also install what's called grid-tied systems. These connect directly to the power company's grid, and they can lower your electric bills each and every month. A typical electric bill is around $20 a month. Isn't it time that you exercise a little independence and self-reliance? Area Solar is locally owned and operated, but they're happy to serve the surrounding communities. Give them a call today, 870-389-6115. Again, that's 870-389-6115.
And now back to the Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Show.
You know what? A lot of people, they like the hunt, but they don't like the processing, the gutting, the meat processing. To me, it's just all part of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And if you take the time to harvest something, you owe it to the animal and yourself to follow through with it. You know, waste is just horrible.
Absolutely, and that's why we try to utilize hides as much as we can. It just seems a shame to throw something that you can make something very useful out of.
Yes,
albeit a lot of labor.
Oh, it is.
That hide making is serious work.
Yes, it is. Well, something I'd like to talk about. Let's direct some people to your website and how they can interact with you, Peter. Tell us where they can find out more about you.
Well, we have our YouTube channel, and it's called the Woodland Escape, and we have a page, of course, that goes along with that. And we started it. Actually, it was my oldest son said, "Dad, you should you should film some of this crazy stuff you do.
Well, heck yeah.
And we just sort of started it, I guess, back in September, mm-hmm. just as a lark almost. And yeah. It had quite a slow start, Steve, but boy, it sure seems to have kicked off lately. There's a lot of interest, a lot of comments coming back.
Mm-hmm. And how about Facebook? How can we find you there?
Facebook, on the Woodland Escape would be, I'm on Facebook there, or just Peter Kelly.
Okay, that's great. And I'll tell you what, this just for our listening audience, all it took was one time to watch you on a video, and you were so interesting, Peter, and I thank you for responding back to me. I said, I've got to interview this guy, because I just liked what you did, just your production, and who was that who played the music? You had some folk music that started off on one of your videos, and they were very talented. Who was that?
Actually, that's Al McDonald, and I'm pretty glad you asked this, because I have a big shout out to them, Al McDonald and Richard Forche.
Yes.
They're two of my friends from down in the East Coast, Nova Scotia.
Oh, wow.
And I pick away at some stringed instruments myself, and they call them gaylies down there, Steve, or kitchen parties.
Yeah.
And there's been many a night down there that we've played to the wee hours of the morning.
That's fun.
But they're very talented musicians, and they collaborated with me to provide me with some what I thought were sort of old-time kind of historical sound to the music. And in fact, we got a lot of compliments on the music on the YouTube channel.
Well, well deserved. They were very talented and very beautiful music. And your stonemason, what was his name again?
Luke Soames.
Luke Soames.
And that'd be Soames Stone and Mason, I think, is the name of his company.
Yeah.
And he does just some absolutely amazing work. And he was a good enough sport to dress up in some of my funny clothes.
I saw that. Yeah. I enjoyed it. It looked like, it's teamwork. That's what all this is about. And you've run into some really gifted, talented people. And this is good. It's really good. Is there anything else that you would like to add in closing here? Because we're about out of time, Peter.
No, I can't think of anything, Steve. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely.
I'd say your state of Arkansas is one that I've never been to. I've been to a lot of American states, but maybe someday we'll, who knows, our paths may cross.
Oh, absolutely. You come down here, you've got a place to stay. You know that, Peter. And
vice versa, sir.
Thank you very much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this was Peter Kelly, an aficionado of living history. And thank you for listening to our show today.
Thank you for listening to Steve Stillwell's The Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Show. Catch Steve on the Ouachita Bushcraft and Survival Facebook page and on the Ouachita Podcast website every other Thursday. That's www.theouachitapodcast.com, plural. And remember, as Steve always says, the more you know, the further you can go.